Good day, friends. We greet you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program of Bible truth. The current series is entitled Power of the Prophets, and those of you that have been listening for the past 4 weeks know that we've been dealing with the prophets in the Old Testament, those that had much to say about the coming of Christ and truly the coming of the kingdom. On the broadcast today, again, we want to go back to the Old Testament to notice what great power in teaching and prophecy is found in the writings and the sayings of the prophets. I want to go to the second chapter of Daniel as we deal once again with the prophecy regarding the kingdom. You recall Jesus during his personal ministry in that famous 16th chapter of Matthew, not alone asked the apostles whom men said that he was, but then immediately directed his question to his immediate apostle body, saying, "Whom do you say, or whom do you think that I am?" And we're aware of the fact that Peter said that he was the Son of the living God. Not alone did Jesus say, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," that flesh and blood had not revealed his unto Peter, but his Father which is in heaven. Not alone did he say that, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," or upon Christ, "and upon his confession will I build my church." But he also said that, "I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We've given you that sequence before on this broadcast, beginning as far back as the 13th verse in that 16th chapter of Matthew, and finishing up with verse 19. Now, I'm aware of the fact, when we hear Jesus saying this to the Apostle Peter, that he was given the opportunity to announce the good news of the kingdom. You see, this subject of the kingdom is outstanding, especially in Matthew's account of the gospel. I believe most Bible students are aware of the fact that Matthew geared his biography of the life of Christ toward the people of Israel, showing them, of course, that Abraham was one of the great patriarchs. You know, Christ referred to this very thing in his personal ministry, and it was brought out by John the Baptist in a very definite way in the 3rd chapter of Matthew, when he said, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers." But the interesting thing is that Matthew began his lineage in the 1st chapter of this glorious record by taking 42 generations that begin with Abraham and came down to Jesus the Christ. You see, he could have begun with Noah, but he began with Abraham because it is generally understood that his remarks were directed toward the mind of the Israelites. Now, don't misunderstand us on the broadcast. We're not saying that in the other records that there was not a reference made to Israel, because that is true. But it would seem that one of the great themes as found in Matthew's account of the gospel is that relative to the kingdom. So you would expect that if it is stated by Daniel many, many years before that the Lord was going to set up an everlasting kingdom, that some reference would be made to that kingdom in Matthew's account of the gospel. So Christ did say to Peter in Matthew 16 and 19, that I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. It's relative also to this subject to note that that was the theme that John the Baptist offered when he came into the wilderness of Judea, telling the people in Matthew the 3rd chapter to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was also the personal theme of Jesus when he began his personal ministry. For if you check the reference out in the 4th chapter of Matthew and verse 17, you'll find that after the temptation of Christ, that it simply said he began to preach and to teach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you, or is at hand." The apostles that were sent out, the 12, on the first limited commission to the lost sheep of Israel, had the theme of the kingdom. And even the 35 couples or disciples that were sent out, their theme was regarding the kingdom. You'll find that also recorded in Luke's account of the gospel, as well as the 10th chapter of Matthew. But this whole thing would indicate to us that the mind was upon the kingdom. The Jewish mind was upon the kingdom. When was that kingdom going to become a reality? Now, we're led to believe from the whole picture that the leaders of the Jews had more or less left the impression with the man on the street that this kingdom was going to be an earthly kingdom, that he was going to overthrow the yoke of Rome. So when Christ came into the city riding on the beast, you remember, before his so-called trial and his death upon the cross, that the people thought, as they cried Hosanna in the highest, that truly this one would become the Messiah, that this one would be the king, that he would set up a kingdom, and soon they would be out from under the yoke of Caesar. This was still upon the mind of the apostles before Christ went to heaven. For the last recorded question that we have asked of Christ upon this earth is found in the first chapter of Matthew, or first chapter of Acts. In Acts, the first chapter, you'll find that when Jesus was with the disciples, that they ask him a question. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? They want to know if it's going to be at that time. And Jesus' answer gives us a good key when we begin to picture the good news of the kingdom. He announces to them there are certain things that the Father has put in his own power that they would not know about. But then there's something that he wants them to especially remember, that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And then they would be his witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's exactly the way the gospel was carried out. So the first sermon at Pentecost that we have recorded in the second chapter of Acts could well be looked upon as a sermon that dealt with the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to get into that on the broadcast today, because next week we hope to go back and look at the life of David and see how he was one of the most outstanding prophets that Israel ever had. But I mentioned something about Daniel at the outset of the broadcast today, and I want to go to the 44th verse of the second chapter of Daniel, which I think is familiar to many who listen to the broadcast today. Daniel simply is telling Nebuchadnezzar here not alone what he dreamed, but he's also telling him what this dream means. And I want to pick up this excerpt here from Daniel's pronouncement to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. He says in verse 44, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now, it's an interesting factor to me when we look at the accounts of these kingdoms, and there are four that can be considered, as Daniel unfolded the dream and then the interpretation to the king. He mentioned about a head of gold. Then he also mentioned another kingdom that was not as great as the kingdom of gold. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. He also went on to talk about another kingdom that referred to the Macedonian or the Grecian Empire. And finally, he got down to the kingdom of iron. And that referred undoubtedly to the Roman Empire, the very empire that was in existence when the Lord's kingdom or the Lord's church had its beginning. In the image also were the toes, and the clay and the iron would not mix together. And so we're aware of the fact that when Rome fell, it actually fell into 10 pieces, we might say. I think historians are aware of this fact. Many of you that listen to the broadcast today are aware of the fact that this would not stay together. So when the Roman Empire fell, there never was after that, and there hasn't been to the present time, a kingdom or an empire that in any way could compare to the four that have been mentioned. But the interesting thing on this broadcast today, as we look at the kingdom, and as we look at the prophecy of Daniel, that in the days of these kings that he's talking about, either in the days of the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians with Alexander the Great, or the Roman Empire, in the days of these kingdoms, there's going to be a kingdom set up that the Lord will set up, which shall never be destroyed. And he says that it shall not be left to other people. It wouldn't be like the Babylonian Empire that fell to the Medo-Persians. It wouldn't be like the Medo-Persian Empire that fell to the Grecians, nor the Grecian Empire that fell to the Romans, and so on. The Roman Empire finally crumbling and decaying and falling to, we might say, 10 different powers, as we read about in the annals of history. Now, the kingdom the Lord's going to set up, when it had its beginning, it would never end. And you know, I found a reference that has always intrigued me regarding this wonderful kingdom. Over in 2 Peter, the first chapter, I find that it's talking about the Christian life. It's talking about Christian growth. It begins with faith and then goes on up that ladder where virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And then we find, the writer says, if these things be in you and abound, they're going to make you that you'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And I want you to listen to verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this indicates to me he's talking about heaven. So the kingdom that God was going to set up, an everlasting kingdom, would be just that. It would even go beyond this life. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Bible is very outstanding on this, when it simply mentions that Christ is going to reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. It says also that when he is going to come, he will deliver up the kingdom to his Father. So the teaching in 2 Peter 1 and 11 would indicate that the kingdom is still in existence in the control of the Father, even in heaven itself. Well, when did this all have its beginning? You know, we're aware of the fact that Christ said that I will build my church. He mentioned to Peter he'd given him the keys of the kingdom, and that would indicate to us that this kingdom apparently would come into existence during the lifetime of Peter and even the rest of the apostles, and I think that's valid reasoning. Also, we'd like to point out that Jesus had stated in Mark 9 and 1, in that interesting record, that there be some of you standing here who will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom come with power. Now, that lets us know that it was going to come in the lifetime of people that were with him at that time, and apparently his disciples and apostles were there, and he was also going to be a kingdom that would come with power. Later, before Christ went to heaven, after his resurrection, before his ascension, in Luke 24 and 49, I don't know whether you're getting all these passages. Some people keep a notebook by their Bible and by their radio and jot the passages down. But if you're interested in this line of reasoning and you don't have all these references, well, just feel free to drop us a card this week to the station or to the congregation that's sponsoring this broadcast in your area, and that'll get to us and we'll give you all the scriptures. But in Luke 24 and 49, just before Jesus went to heaven, after his resurrection, but before his ascension, he told his apostles to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, we're aware of the fact that the kingdom was going to come with power. They were told to remain in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus told them before he went to heaven, in fact, that was the last question he answered, that they would be his witnesses when they received that power, and also, we can say, the kingdom, and they would take this gospel not alone to Jerusalem and Judea, but to Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. He had told them in his wonderful commission in Mark 16 and 15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So they did this because in Colossians 1:23, the book says, as Paul records it, that it was preached to every creature under heaven. But now here's the interesting point. When did this power come and when did this kingdom come? Now we know that the power came to the apostles as they were tarrying in the city of Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high on the first Pentecost after Christ went to heaven. And you can read all about that in the first few verses of that momentous second chapter of the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost was fully come in verse 1. And they, referring to the apostle body, were in one place. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, they went forth to preach the gospel. His first sermon in the second chapter of Acts was on the kingdom. And Paul pointed out to the Colossians, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So this kingdom had its beginning in the days of the Roman Empire on the day of Pentecost, and it's continuing on and will even continue on into heaven. We're going to have to leave this with you. I'm sure there are a number of thoughts that have been brought to your mind. We trust it's been a benefit to you. Will you tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast and be with us next week? We're going to deal this time with what David had to say as a prophet, and he too talked about the kingdom. May God bless us as we study his word and as we live to follow him closely.